students and the region by holding a great big Centennial Community Block Party this Saturday. So if you're in the area, you know what? It's not just about the students or the faculty. It's about you. It's about people who know and love the area and the region. Stop by Minot State University and be part of that party. You cannot come to Minot, the Magic City, without not in realizing that it is part of this Williston Basin play. It is part of the Bakken play. There is oil and gas industry all over the place, and Minot State answers that as well. Frank Mosley, a PhD professor and director of Energy and Economics and Finance Program in the College of Business, is with us. Frank, good to have you on News and Views.
Glad to be here, Joel.
You developed this program, the way it sounds.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. When the Bakken hit several years ago, I thought to myself, how can we add value by looking at various disciplines and integrate them? So I kind of started bottom up and built this program. Was a lead architect on it. I had my colleagues come in,
sure,
in committees, you know, but we put the ideas together, brought it to the dean. Dean Lenroot supported it, went to the president and the VPAA, then went up to the State Board of Higher Education, stage one. They approved it. Then we went to stage two, got it approved. Dr. Fuller says just as fast as any program's been approved because of the needs there. And here we're going. And so I had about two or three students 4 years ago. Now I've got 45 majors.
Well, it didn't hurt that you have a little industry background here.
No.
Explain to people what your personal background is.
Well, I started out roughnecking, so I've gone from a roughneck to a PhD. Right, so
you know what it's like to wear Carhartts.
All right, that's right. Yeah, I still have a few calluses on my hands.
Yeah.
But then I started out internationally. I started out in the North Sea. I worked in Libya and Algeria, the Middle East, Australia, Malaysia, Venezuela. So I've had a lot of international experience. And subsequently, I had a master's in business. I got a master's in petroleum engineering from University of Houston. Got a PhD from Colorado School of Mines. So I've been well gifted and lucky to have the experience that I have. And I took that experience and kind of molded this program. And it's unique. It's very unique because we're trying to teach our learners the business, the commerce and the business side of energy. In other words, we need the geosciences, but turn the coin upside down on the other side, and there's the business side and the commerce side of energy. And
Now describe to people what you just said, though, because I think I get what you're getting at. I mean, I understand the science of what's happening,
yeah,
with the but describe to people what you mean when you say the business side.
Well, you may have the engineering may look at two or three different ways, and I hate to say skin a cat, but
yeah,
you know, some animal rights people don't want to
skin they'll a get cat. Over it.
All right, get over it. All right,
but or I mean, they won't.
But there may be two or three different ways to solve a problem. Well, you want to see what's the most economic way. You know, what adds more value, and what kind of options do we have if we pick this process to complete this well? Have we built in some more options, say 3, 4, 5 years down the road, so we can value those options now?
Let me give you an example of where, in my mind, you just went, and see if we're on the same page.
Right.
Because to be honest with you, you're grade or two above me when it comes to this industry. But if I'm fracking with sand versus water, if I'm, you know, transporting water versus there's ways to do things in this industry,
right,
that saves the industry money.
Right.
That what we're talking about?
Yes. You want to look at the most economical way, like an I-beam. Anybody can design an I-beam, just make it big and strong enough. But it's the economics. In other words, do you want to solve the problem, and yet it's efficient in terms of investment?
Okay.
So you've got an optimization problem there.
How long has the program been in place?
It's been in place about 3 years.
And pretty soon you'll be turning product out of that program.
Well, I've got four people working with Enbridge, and they love our program.
Okay.
And I've got a number of people working with Hess and other industry people. So I've turned out about 15 graduates.
What's the interest from the students themselves?
The feedback I get, they love it.
Really?
They absolutely love the program. And we're starting to get, I've had one student call me from Texas who's specifically coming up here for this program. I've got two students from California who specifically come to this program. So why am I, why am I at Minot State University? I came here for the Energy Economics and Finance program.
Dr. Frank Mosley is our guest. He's Director of Energy and Economics and Finance program here at Minot State University. Is anybody else in the nation doing this?
Not that I know of. There's energy management, which is very broad.
Okay, I got to say this, though. You worked in the industry for a long, long time. And all we ever talked about was, you know, energy independence and not importing and all of this. And yet Minot State is the only one in the nation that had the foresight to get out ahead of this? I mean, this should have been going on for a long time.
Well, like Texas, they have energy commerce. And there's energy management, right? But it's not as, it's a different program. It's more like a petroleum land management where somebody seeks out who owns the mineral rights. You take a lot of oil and gas law, you take a lot of oil and gas accounting, you take a lot of real property law. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, it's resting on the shoulders of economics and finance and financial modeling. So we're trying to turn out, leaders in the energy industry to hopefully be future executives.
My guess is the young men and women you're turning out aren't struggling to find a job.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They're in high demand, and there's going to be demand in decades, you know. And as far as oil and gas here, oil, gas, and coal, the non-renewable sector is still going to be strong, say, even in 2030.
Yeah.
Although we have wind and solar. And my program, we go through wind and solar. We go through renewable and non-renewable economics and the financing of those projects.
So it isn't just oil and gas that we talk about?
No. We talk about fuel cells, geothermal, solar, wind.
All right. That's exciting. It's exciting to know. How big can the program get, in your opinion?
Well, right now, we do have limited resources, like me.
Well, but I'm going to tell you, if I'm a legislator, you got my attention if I'm listening right now.
Well, I hope so. Joe, I take all the help I can get. I guarantee you, I'll take all the help I can get because I do want to build. I want our students in student competitions. I want them to go to the International Association of Energy Economists and Economics and compete and network, right, and fly the flag for North Dakota and for our university. Yes, I'll take all the support I can get.
Well, that's an investment, though.
Yes.
And not only that, when you know the industry's in your backyard, it isn't like you're training people to move to Texas someday. They may, but you know what? The need is here as well.
The need is here, absolutely.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what we could be doing better. You know, we do a lot of flaring of natural gas.
Yeah.
I think a lot of farmers right now are out there working their fields and they're listening to you. A lot of truckers driving down the highway who are transporting, you know, a lot of different products who are saying, okay, but, you know, maybe we're talking just the rosy. What in your opinion, could we be doing better here?
Well, first of all, as far as regulation goes and the Oil and Gas Division of the Department of Mineral Resources, Lynn Helms. I mean, this state is so fortunate to have a Lynn Helms. I mean, he's a prince, and he's knowledgeable, and he's fair, and he's firm, right? So, in other words, the oil and gas companies just can't get by with anything in terms of breaking regulations. But so Lynn is running an excellent ship there when it comes to overseeing.
That's good to hear.
Absolutely.
Really good to hear.
And I observe him and work with him a lot, and I've got all the time in the world for him. Right. Okay. Now, so he is enforcing the rules and regulations. As far as flaring, in order to produce oil, the gas has to come up with it. If the economics are such that you can't make it feasible to gather the gas in a gas gathering system, the alternative is to flare it, which the state gives the oil companies a certain period of time. They give them, say, a year. You can flare for a year, and then you've got to start paying the taxes and looking at the economics of getting it where we're not flaring. So,
but we're catching up with some of the pipeline system needed to capture that.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we're building pipelines and gas gathering systems all the time.
I think that for North Dakotans, Montanans, South Dakotans who see this, heck, for NASA, who sees it from space, it just looks like such a waste of energy.
It is. And, I mean, Norco, they don't want to do it. They're not deliberately doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's money they're burning.
Right.
And I mean, and that gas, I mean, if you can extract liquids out of it, that's even more money, propane and butanes and so on and so forth. I mean, their wish list is not to flare it. Their wish list is to gather it and reap benefits out of it.
Knowing the industry as well as you know it, look inside that crystal ball and tell me where we're going to be 10 years from now.
10 years from now, we'll still be drilling. You know, so there's going to be decades of drilling and development and production, right? And we're looking at the population growth. We're also looking at the oil impact and how it's going to affect infrastructure, roads, safety, and the towns out here in the West. So, in fact, some of my colleagues here, we're looking at a feasibility study of infrastructure and employment impact that's going to happen due to the oil and gas industry here in the West.
When we say drilling, though, I think we need to point this out as well. It's actually reinvented itself. I mean, now they're taking, you know, the drill rigs cross land. They're not having to tear them down, ship them, tear up the roads.
Right.
You know, they're walking across on skids.
Yeah.
They can drill how many wells from one pad?
Yeah.
I mean, they've reinvented themselves as far as drilling.
Yeah. I mean, typically that's what you do offshore. You can set a platform offshore, and then you drill so many wells from that fixed platform, and they're directional and horizontal and so on and so forth. Well, we can do the same thing here. This is called eco-pad drilling, right? So you could have anywhere from 16 to maybe 20 wells on a pad, depending on where you are in the basin,
yep.
Down to maybe three or four. So the number of wells per pad. Well, what's good, it used to be where we drilled a vertical well,
Yep.
That took a footprint of about 10% of the land. Okay, now with this pad drilling, right, with the multiple wells off a pad, it's using 0.5% of the surface area.
That's huge.
That is huge.
Absolutely huge. Right. Although I still would argue that we got to also make sure that it doesn't end up in the Killdeer Mountains and other places, too.
Exactly.
I get all of that. Yeah. Dr. Mosley, this is exciting. Yeah. I'm going to keep your card. That's not the unfortunate part for you. Amy Eiler's going to want this card, and we're going to call on you as one of our experts to ask about this industry many times over. This program's exciting. If people want to know more about it, where do they go?
They can get in touch with me here at Minot State University, Dr. Frank Mosley. You can go to the website. There's a description of the program on our website, the MinotStateUniversity.edu website. And so get in touch with me, and we can send you information on the program.
Thanks for what you do on behalf of the Upper Midwest. Appreciate it.